I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking Pastor Rob for this privilege to share the Word of God with you this morning. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 1, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth." And verse 3, he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together." And I believe we are here this morning together to magnify and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what we believe in, the resurrection and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord has great things in store for each and every one of us. And I believe that his time, and this will be our season, that God will take this church and each and every one of us to another level. This morning, I'm going to preach from Luke chapter 5 and from verse number 17. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 5 and verse number 17. "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of law sitting by, who had come from every town out of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the rooftop and let this man with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who can speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to rise up and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.' And he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go your house.' And immediately he rose before them, took up what he was laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" I pray, may God bless the reading of his word. In the above scripture, Jesus is preaching in a certain man's house. And the Bible says in verse 17, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal. The house was full to capacity, and there came a man who was paralyzed, being carried by his four friends. And because they could not enter by the entrance, they climbed up from the rooftop and lowered this man to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Your sins are forgiven you.' And then the scribes and the Pharisees reasoned among themselves, 'Who alone can forgive sins but God alone?' And Jesus said, 'Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or "Rise up and walk"? Whichever way you want, you are healed in the name of Jesus." Here we find in the scripture, God miraculously gave these four men a breakthrough. The number four in the Bible speaks of completion. And these four men witnessed the completion of their request when this man was healed. Although they had to overcome certain barriers and obstacles, they still preserved. Some of us have stopped believing in the completion of our miracles because of what we are going through. And I believe that God desires to complete the things that is undone in our lives. When you look at the world all around us, COVID-19 has brought everything to a standstill. Our normal day-to-day has been disruptive. Businesses have stopped trading. Church buildings closed down. It will take a long time for everything to recover, but I personally believe it's time for God's people to run with His word and start accomplishing those unfinished tasks that God has placed on the inside of you. In the natural, it seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I believe that God wants to complete the things that He has started in your life, even this year, 2020. Believe God for the supernatural to be manifested in your life. We find when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, He said, four times I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Four times that He said, Jesus, when He raised him from the dead, He complete what He has spoken into Lazarus' life. And I believe that things may be dried up, things may be dead, things may be barren in your life. But I believe that Jesus is able to resurrect it and bring it to pass in your life. And I believe that the power of God can complete all those unfinished tasks in your life. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Here we find the great man, the Apostle Paul. The Romans could not stop him. The Jews could not stop him. The devil could not stop him. Money could not stop him. Prison could not stop him. Nothing could stop him from fulfilling the purposes and the plan of God in his life. And I believe that whatever you're going through, God wants to complete the things that He started in your life. Just as Jesus raised even Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, He can do something supernaturally in your life. He is the God of the miraculous and the God of the impossible, and He wants to do the work in your life. May this year God complete everything that is undone, stagnant, dried up, or barren. May He resurrect those things and bring it to pass in your life. And I believe that God wants to finish what He started, even in the church Elam, even in your family, even in your finances, even in your health. He wants to complete it. You have to hold on to believe, to see the completion of the miracle that God has ordained and He wants to demonstrate in your life. We see from this four men, we can learn some valuable lessons. Number one, firstly, they broke the spirit of limitations. These four men have traveled several miles before coming to Jesus. The crowd did not prevent this man from coming to Jesus. Do not let people prevent you from coming to Jesus. Remember when the lady with the issue of blood, she had to press a way to reach to Jesus in order for her to receive the miracle. Nothing stopped this woman. A sickness did not stop her. The crowd did not stop her, but she pressed herself even to reach until she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was miraculously healed. We see that God wants to demonstrate His power in your life. We find that when these four men came, the entrance was blocked. But these men were not determined and not willing to quit. They broke the spirit of limitation, restriction over their lives. I believe when one door shuts, God will open another door. Sometimes we put limitations on what God can do and what He cannot do. And I believe that it weeps the heart of God that when we put restrictions and limitation and what God can do and what He cannot do. And just like when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus and he began to weep, Jesus did not weep because Lazarus was dead, because He wept because He stood there in all His power, in all His glory, in all His might, and nobody asked Him to demonstrate His power in His life. And I believe when the church is going through problems, when family is going through problems, when we're going through difficulties and hardship, it weeps the heart of God that we do not ask Him for help. Because we put this restriction and we think that it's beyond the level of God, beyond what God's limitation. We restrict the power of God even to be demonstrated in your lives. Do not try to reason. Do not try and reason out what you've been through the tests and temptations and try to answer the questions with human limitation. This will only limit the power of God in your life. because his ways are not our ways. Only believe and his hand, and only believe, and you'll see the power of God be manifest in your life. We find that it's the same thing the Israelites did in Psalms 78 verse 41 said, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Yes, they tempted God and limited God, the Holy One of Israel. Although they've seen his miraculous powers, time after time, season after season, and day after day, yet they limited and did it, and they tempted the Holy One of Israel. And I believe that today we as the church must remove limitations, remove restrictions. We need to break the spirit of limitation over our life and believe God for, and believe God and take him at his word. What he said in your life, he will do it. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. God is not a man that he will lie. God is God, and he will able to demonstrate his power in your life. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, he said, but the people know their God, they will be strong and they will carry out great exploits. So knowing God will not only bring new things but accomplish great exploits. God has something great in store for you, for each and every one of us. Do not look what you're going through. Do not look at the difficulty. Do not look at the problem. Do not look at the hardship. Do not look at the negative circumstances. But you need to look to God. He is the God of increase. He is the God of overflow, God of addition. He is the God of multiplication. He is the God of no limit. And this is why he can do great exploits in our life. So Ephesians 3 verse 20, he is able to do exceeding abundantly, more than we think or ever ask of or imagine. God is a God of God is a God of overflow. He's a God of increase. We must believe him and take him at his word. We need to break the spirit of limitation of our lives by changing the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, change our mentality and start aligning ourselves with the word of God. If he spoke something great in your life, it shall be manifested. It shall come to pass. Even in God said to Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel said, God, only you know. And I believe that God is able to resurrect those dead bones, is able to resurrect those dead dreams in your life. We as a church, as Elim Pentecostal Church, we need to break the spirit of limitation, break restrictions, break barriers, break bondages of our lives, and believe God that he's going to do a miracle in your life. Break the limitations of our families, break limitations of our children, break those limitations and start believing and start taking God at his word, because God is a God of mighty power. And here we find that these four men, they broke the spirit of limitation. Nothing hindered this four men. They broke the spirit. They did something that seemed impossible. They did something that no one else did before. And I believe that this is what we as a church need to do. Go into the areas that God has called us to go and believe him for the impossible. Run with his word. Run what God has purposed in your life. So we need to may every spirit of limitations and strongholds that surround your finances, your family, your education, your spiritual growth, your career be broken in the name of Jesus. May God give you a new beginning. Pray for a new start that will erase all stagnant growth, failures, and limitations. Firstly, we find that these four men, they broke the spirit of limitation. And today I come to say to you as a church, stop limiting with the promises of God in your life. Stop limiting God and God's word. Stop limiting the thing that you are facing. Believe God for you. Believe the word of God and run with the word of God. Allow God's word to speak into your life. Allow God's word to take control of your life. Allow God's word to become alive in your life, so that the glory and the power of God will be manifested in your life. Firstly, they broke the spirit of limitations. Nextly, they broke the spirit of fear. These four men were not afraid of the unknown, the crowd. They were not afraid of the crowd. They're not afraid of the religious leaders. And they were even not afraid of the owner of the house. They had the boldness. They had the courage. Suppose if these four men walked away, they would have not seen the power of God. Fear will cripple you. Fear will bind you. And fear will keep you in bondage. Fear will make you walk away from the impossible situation. These four men did something that was not done before. Imagine how hard it was to carry this paralyzed man on the rooftop, remove the tiles and lower this man to Jesus. In the natural, they broke the spirit of fear to reach to Jesus. We need to break the spirit of fear, intimidation, bondages over our lives, over our families, over our churches, and believe God that He's going to do the miraculous in our lives. Today we are bound with all kinds of fear. Fear of not making ends meet. Fear of being lonely. Fear of the doctor's report. Fear of losing a loved one. Fear of addiction. There's all kinds of fear that we face. But the word of God encourages us and says we must not fear. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And yet the word of God is saying, Isaiah 41 verse 10, you need to fear not. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I am with you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You are not alone. I am there with you. You find when the Israelites came to the Red Sea, they were trapped and they were terrified because the Egyptian armies were behind them. In front of them, they were the Red Sea, and in the side of them, these mountains. In fact, their physical surroundings locked them in, and there were no escape. Their fear gripped their hearts, and they began to cry out in fear, and the fear of losing their lives, fear of losing everything, fear of their freedom. But here Moses says to them in Isaiah, in Exodus 14, in verse number 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord." For the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more. The Lord will fight for you. You need to hold your fear, your peace. Here we find that the Israelites were surrounded with fear. They were bound with fear. Fear gripped their hearts. And here the man of God is saying, you do not need to fear. And yet you may be just like the Israelites when your back is against the wall, when you got no money in the pocket, when doctors fail. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Do not be bound with fear. Believe God for the impossible. These four men broke the spirit of fear of coming to Jesus. They broke the spirit of fear. They knew that God will give them the victory. Jesus will answer their prayer. As long as Jesus is in the house, the power of God will be manifested in their friend's life. So maybe God has spoken something to you, and it's fear. It's not seen because of fear of what you're going through, of fear of what He has spoken in your life. Has bound you and crippled you. But I believe it's time for you that the word of God says, do not be afraid. He has given you a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. He has given you a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So here we see these four men, they broke the spirit of fear. The third thing these four men did, they broke the spirit of unbelief. These four men believed that Jesus had the power to heal this man. They had the power, they had the faith to believe that Jesus is going to heal this man. Although they did not see their friend being healed, they believed it. They put their faith into action by seeking the healer. Discouragement and unbelief did not creep in their hearts when their entrance was blocked and when there was no way to reach to Jesus. They knew as long as Jesus was in the house, they knew as long as Jesus was there, their friend is going to be healed. And you and I must know, as long as the risen Lord lives, that He is the resurrection and He is alive and He is God, that He's going to meet every of our needs. This is what we need to believe, that God is the God of the miraculous.
And we need to come against the spirit of unbelief that's stopping the power of God moving in and through our lives. Because one thing we know, Jesus will always respond to us when we approach him by faith. In deadness and difficult situation, we need to look up. We need to put our trust here. We need to put our faith into action and looking to God. And this is what David said in Psalms 121 in verse number 1. He said, I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. It comes from God who made the heavens and the earth. And here we find that this great king, although he had all the resources, although he had the best physician, although he had the best army, although he had the best of everything, he had all these servants, he had all the gold, he had all the wealth. He said his help came from God who made the heavens and the earth. He put his trust, he put his confidence, he put his hope in Christ. And this is what we need to do. We need to put our trust and our confidence in Christ and Christ alone. And yet these four men, they broke the spirit of unbelief of coming to Jesus. And even when we come to Jesus, we must come by faith, believing, not just coming for the sake of coming, not because it's Sunday, we're tuning in and we need to pray because the pastor's asking you to pray or mom asking you to pray. We must pray believing that God will answer your prayer. Because when you pray, you're praying in the natural. But when you pray, you're entering into the supernatural. So this is what when we pray, we must pray believing that God's going to answer your prayer, because we enter into the supernatural. And we know when we enter into the presence of God, nothing is impossible with God. Because in his presence is the presence of the supernatural. In his presence, there is love, there is joy, and there is peace. Remember the time when the angel Gabriel, he came to Zechariah and said that your wife is going to have a baby. And he said, how can these things be? And he said, and Gabriel said to Zechariah, I am the angel who stands in the presence of God. I am the one who is sent by God. I am the one that stands in the presence of God. We find that this angel came to Mary 6 months later and he says to Mary, you're going to have a baby. And she said, how can these things be? And what the angel said to her, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will come upon you. And in Luke 1 verse 37, he says, for with God, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So yet this angel comes to Zacharias and says, I am the one who stands in the presence of God. And now he comes to Mary and says, with God, nothing is impossible with him. So when you are in the presence of God, when you are in God's presence, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. He is the God of the miraculous. He's the God of the supernatural. He is the God of the power of the God who can do the impossible in your life. So no matter what you're going through, in his presence, nothing is impossible with God. So let me take this as a little further. So what Gabriel is trying to say, I am the one who saw how God created the heavens and the earth. I am the one who saw how God opened the Red Sea. I am the one who stands in his presence, who saw how God made a way to Daniel in the lion's den. So what Gabriel is saying, I am the one who's seen day after day after day after day, countless miracles that are taking place in the presence of God. So when we as a church come into the presence of God, when we hooked into the presence of God, every spirit of unbelief has to go, because in his presence, nothing is impossible. God wants to remind this church, God wants to remind you, he is greater than any problem, he's greater than any circumstances, greater than any difficulty. He is the greatest. So with his presence, nothing is impossible, God. Yet these four men, they come into the presence, they knew as long as Jesus was there, this friend is going to be healed. As long as you and I come into God's presence, this is why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in whose presence? In his presence, nothing is impossible with God. He said, there I am. So when we are in his presence, you must believe that nothing is impossible with him. And yet we find that God wants to remind us these four men came to Jesus by faith, believing him for the supernatural. So when you come to God, when you pray, you must pray believing for the supernatural and believe that he's going to do a supernatural work in your life. And yet these four men, they come into God's presence. They knew Jesus was there and they came by faith. The next thing, these four men, they broke the spirit of disunity. Firstly, the Bible doesn't say where these men came from. Suppose they have to travel for a long journey. And they were carrying a man on the stretcher in the heat of the day. Here we find that they were united in one purpose, in one goal, in one vision of getting this man to Jesus. That was their purpose, and that must be our goal in getting people to Jesus. And here we find that amongst these four men, there were no sense of complaining. Nobody was murmuring, nobody was backbiting, or even division. I'm so tired, I cannot make it, I want to give up. I want to lose hope. The entrance are blocked. I'm not willing to carry this man up the rooftop. Yet we find that there was no sense of division among these four men. They had this one purpose. They had this one goal. They had this one vision. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in that house. We must get to Jesus. How are we going to get there? We must get there in one accord, one mind, and one purpose. It's supposed the three men gave up. Their friend would not have been healed. Their friend would have lost their healing. These four men, through the difficulties and through the circumstances, seeing their vision being fulfilled. And I believe that when we as a church, when we begin to work together and join our hearts together, our minds, our spirit, we will see the vision of God being accomplished in our lives. We'll see the power of God being manifested, what is purpose in our lives. God is the source of living together in unity. It does not come from the world at all. Living together in unity is the gift of God's grace. We find whether it's a family, a business, or a church, or a sports team, a workplace, life is much more pleasant and enjoyable when people are getting along together. And where there is no unity, there is no peace. There's no peace, no rest of mind. Although believers, although we may come from different backgrounds and different cultures, and we may have different views and different opinion, but Christian unity transcends all these differences, and they join the hearts of men together. So what joins our hearts together is the love of the Holy Spirit flowed in and through our lives. Unity has always been God's way for his people and a source of blessing to them. Unity was one of the foundations of the early church that gave them the victory over every battle that they faced. It was the foundation of the early church. And I believe that when we as a church operate in the same kind of unity like the early church, believers will be of one mind and one spirit. There will be no lack. Prayer and the word of God will be our focus. Breaking bread from house to house will be a lifestyle. Unexplained miracles will take place. The church will multiply. Believers growing in the Lord. Supernatural doors will open in the name of Jesus. And the only way to win and overcome all the battles is when we are united together, is when the church stands together, when the church joins their hearts together, joins their hands together. And then only God will pour out his power. We find in the day of Pentecost, when they were one accord, one mind, then the Spirit of God came upon their lives. We find in Acts chapter 1, they prayed together. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came together, they were in one mind, in one accord. In Acts chapter 3, we find Peter and John, they went to the temple together. In Acts chapter 4, when the church was persecuted, they got together and they began to cry out with one voice. But you see, in Acts chapter 5, the devil tried to destroy the unity that the church had by Sapphira and Ananias, who tried to deceive the apostles. We see that unity was the focus of the church. Unity was a stronghold, was the foundation of the church. And I believe that when we are united, we see the power of God be manifested. God pours out his blessing, his favor, and his mercy through unity. And these four men were united in seeing their friend being healed. In unity, there is strength, there is power, and great things will take place. There is strength, there is power, and great things will take place. So here we see in the story, for the miraculous to take place, we need to break the spirit of limitation, break the spirit of fear, break the spirit of unbelief, break the spirit of disunity. And God, for God to complete his purpose in our lives. Today, believe God for the impossible in your life. In Luke 17:5, verse 17 says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. It took only four men to tap into the presence of God. It took four men to tap into the power of God. And I believe that the power of God is present to heal. It only takes a few people so that God's power can be manifested in our lives, in the church. Let's be a church that believe God for the supernatural. Let's break the spirit of limitations, the spirit of fear, the spirit of unbelief and disunity, so that we see the glory of God be manifested in our lives. Let's pray this morning. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. I pray, Lord, that even today, as your power will be manifested in this church, O God, your power will be manifested in this church, O God. We pray, Lord, that you complete every unfinished work that you purpose in their lives, O God, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith, O God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, help us to hold on to your word, Lord Jesus. Give us the strength and give us the power to complete those unfinished tasks in our lives, O God. We pray, Lord, that in the name of your Son, Jesus, we break every spirit of limitations, O God, over this ministry, over our families, O God, in the name of Jesus. We break the spirit of strongholds, O God, spirit of bondage, O God. And we pray that every spirit of limitation, every spirit of lack in this church, O God, will be broken by the power of God in the name of your Son, Jesus. You are the God of increase. You are the God of overflow. You are the God of greatness, O God. You are the God of addition. You are God of multiplication. And Father, we pray that every limitation spirit, O God, that we put upon the church and put upon our lives, O God, today we break it in the name of your Son, Jesus, because you are the God of no limits, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that your power will be manifested in the name of your Son, Jesus. I pray that every spirit of fear, Lord Jesus, that kept people in bondage, in darkness, oh God. I pray the fear that grip their hearts, oh God, of the circumstances and the things that they face, oh God. Lord, we pray that your word says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind, oh God. I rebuke the spirit of fear, and I pray, Lord, that even today that the glory and the power of God even to be manifested in Jesus' name, that we'll not operate out of fear, but out of the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And every fear, Lord, over the high lives of people, Lord Jesus, fear of the doctor's report, in fear of making things easy, we cancel it today by the power of God, because Lord, that you are the one that will take care of your people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, that every spirit of doubt and unbelief, Lord Jesus, please, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We break it down and we pull it down in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that even as Lord, we pray that you'll give us, Lord, that you'll help us in our unbelief, oh God, and I pray that you'll give us faith, oh God, help us to grow in faith, help us to become strong and mature. And I pray, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, that every spirit of unbelief, oh God, we cut it off in the name of Jesus. And we pray that the glory of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you'll unite, Lord, even this church, Lord Jesus. I come against every spirit of division in homes, in families, oh God. I pray that you unite even families and homes in the church, oh God. And I pray in the church, Lord, we pray even the church as a whole, that you unite it and you make it one in the name of Jesus. I come against and I root out every spirit of disunity, oh God, in the name of every spirit of division in Jesus' mighty name. We cancel it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray, we want to see your power be manifested, oh God. We want to tap into your presence, just like these four men tapped into the power of God and tapped into Christ, because where the power of the Lord is present to heal. And I pray that your power even today is present to heal people, Lord Jesus, even those that are sick, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll heal them, you'll deliver them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every fear, Lord, will be canceled and broken in the name of Jesus. I pray bondages and sickness and disease will be canceled in the name of Jesus, that you set forth your word to heal people, Lord, to deliver people and to set people free. And Lord, we pray that whatever they're trusting in you, I pray that you'll demonstrate your power. We pray that the spirit of limitation will be removed from their lives, oh God. We pray, Lord, the spirit of fear will be removed in the name of Jesus, the spirit of unbelief, oh God. We pray the spirit of division will be canceled in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your glory will be manifested in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we pray that your glory will be manifested in this church, oh God, manifested in their lives, manifested in their health, manifested in their finances, manifested in their children. Children, oh God, we pray that your glory will be manifested. And I pray that today, Father, that you'll complete the work you started in the church, oh God. Complete the work, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, let your glory will be manifested and your power will be manifested, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray that you'll give the strength and the power of God even upon the leadership of the church, oh God. And I pray that we'll take the church forward. And I pray that the glory of God will be manifested. Bless your word, Lord Jesus, and let it become part of the lives of your people. And strengthen them, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Let your word become real and ever, and Lord, be manifested in their lives even this week, that supernatural things will be manifested and your glory will be manifested in Jesus' name. Amen.